Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Crazy Talk Podcast. My name is Rob.
And me, Vanessa.
And thanks for joining us here. The day that this is going up is actually the 30th, so we are 2 days away from the beginning of the new year. So, whoop whoop, here we go to 2020.
Whoop
whoop. And start up the brand new decade, I guess.
2020.
I guess one thing that I like to start off by asking before we even get before we dive in is the decade, 2010 to 2020. What is your favorite movie that's come out within that decade?
That's a very hard question because I can't even think of that many movies right now.
Okay, well then I'll go first and I'll let you think about it a little bit. In regards to the decade of 2010 to 2020, a lot of Marvel movies have come out. I would say, Endgame for sure. Infinity War and Endgame are some of the most pivotal things in the world. I don't know. Those things are so good. Other movies that came out. I mean, there's been a lot of good just indie movies that have been just on a roll lately. Just one after another. And I think this year in particular, I feel like I've seen more movies this year than I have any other year. Because we've just been going to the movie. I've been dragging you to the movie all year long. But there's been just a lot of good movies this year. The one with Awkwafina.
The Farewell.
Thank you. Parasite came out this year.
Peanut Butter Falcon.
Like, I feel like 2019, a pretty strong year in movies, I would have to say.
Although the Golden Globe nominations.
What about?
Are kind of sucky.
Oh, yes. a lot of people got snuffed on those Golden Globe nominations. So.
Is it the Golden Globe?
Yeah, I believe it was Golden Globe that didn't get a lot of.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question, but I mean, Pixar came out with a lot of pretty good movies. Like, Coco was the first relatable Pixar movie that came out. I mean, that's closer to now. And I don't know when Up came out, but loved Up.
Mm-hmm.
Themed our bridal shower after it.
What would you have to say is your favorite thing that happened within the decade?
These are some broad questions. I hate when people ask questions like that because I'm like, I don't even, like, I cannot remember yesterday. So 2010 feels
okay,
I'll like.
Answer. Okay, I have an answer.
You got married.
We got married.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't say it.
Well, I met you in 2012.
And
we so
got married in 2015.
We've almost been together the whole decade, but, you know, minus 2 years.
Yeah, but I said it first, guys. So
you heard I it thought here it first.
First.
I said it
you
before
heard it
he
first.
Verbalized
Rob,
it.
Robert's favorite thing of the decade, game made. Vanessa.
Okay, my favorite was meeting Robert, okay?
Oh,
meeting you. How
please.
About that?
You're the one who asked the awkward question when we first met.
What question?
Where have you been this entire time?
Oh my gosh!
I think we went over that though on our first podcast. Yeah. I'm like, we're not gonna bog you down with same old. Anyways, we're back again. Last week's episode, which is kind of weird for me to even say because as we're recording this, we just literally finished recording the Christmas episode, so we doubled up. But last week's episode was of Christmas, and now we're back. There's no holidays coming up anytime soon.
Yes, it is New Year's.
New Year's is coming up, I guess. Then New Year's, all right? Did you do anything for New Year's?
Fireworks?
I never did anything.
We lived in the country, though. You never lived in the country.
I never really did anything for the New Year's. I remember for the New Year's, my parents would buy themselves a movie, well, rent themselves a movie, and then they'll rent the kids a movie. They would get pizza, and then my parents would just go to the room, and then we would just do our thing. Ding dong. Oh, it's midnight. Hey, Brandon.
Ding dong.
You heard the bells going.
The bells of what?
In my head. And so I'll just look to my brother and be like, hey, Happy New Year's. He looked to me. Happy New Year. Walk into my parents' bedroom. Hey, Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's, Robert. That's not what they called me, but I'm not going to say
what they called me. There's sirens on our end.
Sirens on our end, yeah. Sorry. If you're driving, they're not chasing you. And then I just look at my parents and be like, Happy New Year's. And my parents would look at me, Happy New Year's. All right, cool. Time to go to bed. It's midnight.
A beautiful story.
It's great.
My church did midnight services. We
brought in
the new year together. Yeah, we did candlelight. So
that's pretty cool.
We counted down and we had food and stuff like that.
Do you want to do something big with me when we have kids?
I don't don't know. I think it's kind of cool. It's significant. Like, it's a whole new year and it feels fresh and you can prepare and plan and do all the things. Try to, I should say.
Yeah. I love the energy of this podcast. It's going to be great. Oh, my goodness. My hat just straight up hit the mic. All right. Getting into it, okay, guys? We got two topics for you today, as always. And before we get into it, remember, this is the Crazy Talk Pod. It is a topical podcast. I bring a topic. Vanessa brings a topic. Sometimes in the month, we might do unpopular opinions because for some reason, we like that a lot. And it seems like every episode we do it, which kind of means we should have just named this entire podcast Unpopular Opinions. But that's another conversation for another day. Thanks for joining us. You guys can go find us on the social medias such as Twitter, The Crazy Talk Pod. And you guys can find this podcast on any podcast service. If there's one that's missing, I have no idea why it's missing. And maybe you need to change your podcast service. It's you problem. It's not me problem. It's all you, not me. Today we have two topics, as always. Vanessa, what's your topic?
Okay, so we got a suggestion, and I'm going to leave that anonymous, okay, for a topic.
Oh, wait.
So this is our very first
You know when they suggestion. Want to be anonymous because they don't want to be found
okay,
out.
She didn't want to be anonymous. I'm making her anonymous.
Oh, you're keeping her safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that anybody else listens to our podcast. Anyway.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
I guess they do. Okay, we have had over 300 listens to one of our podcasts. God bless. Thank you to everyone episodes. Who listened to that. Huh?
One of the episodes.
On one of the episodes, yes. So.
Okay. Well, anyways.
That's more than anything I've ever had in my entire life.
So the topic today is about family dynamics with adult children.
Oy, boy.
Like once you have adult children in the home. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or, you know, outside of the home. So, as you guys know, Robert is the oldest of eight. And there's six boys and there's two girls and the two girls are in the middle. And then my family, I am the youngest of three and I'm the only girl. So I'm the baby. So in my family, we are all adult children. Like I was the last one. So it's very different. Like we're all married and my oldest brother has kids and that's my time with my family. But when we're with Robert's family, they're all still in the home besides the one right under him. He's 23.
Yes.
And then the rest of them are in the house. So Robert kind of sets the example and stuff. But it's just funny to like look back and stuff on like we are both raised kind of differently, I think. And like the way that we act and stuff is kind of funny because of our what do you call that? Like your place, like your oldest, middle, young. What is that called?
Just your place within the group of siblings.
There's a name for that, but
yeah, there is.
I can't think of it. So like Robert's used to caring for people because he's the oldest, and I'm used to being taken care of and stuff like that. But anyways, so there's stuff that we've taken from like what we like learned growing up and implemented in our own home, and there's stuff that we've created for ourselves and. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different opinions that people have about family dynamics once you're adults. But I personally really enjoy having us all be adults on my side of the family. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's kind of sad because we're no longer kids and, like, making those memories. But we're all able to, like, choose our literally everything for our families at this point. And we're all so different that it's cool to see those differences that you have once you're out of the house. And I think, like, one thing I remember when we first got married was, like, hospitality. Like, my mom coming over, I forgot. Like, we would clean the whole house and stuff. I think her and my grandma came over one time. And I think maybe we put on coffee or something when they came in at, like, 7 p.m. And I remember when my grandma leaving, she was saying that was, like, the biggest deal ever to her because she felt like, yeah, it was something small, but... She knew that we knew her and that she would like need coffee or she just felt like we were being good host. But I don't think that everybody's like that. Like, I wonder how it is the first couple of times when you go to your kid's house once they're like married and like living somewhere else. Like, I'm sure that's kind of awkward for parents in figuring out like what their place is in your home, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you also have like a new daughter-in-law or son-in-law, so you're like trying to fill your place out. But I don't know if that's different with my parents than your parents.
It counts, I think, from person to person, I think. And I think it counts from relationship to relationship between the child and the parent and then their significant other to the parent, you know? I mean, it would be weird if, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in a home where my mom was just hospitality all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Being a host was what she loved doing. That's her love language. To serve is her love language.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about her. I'm glad that I got to experience that with her because that's something I want. I'm glad that I got to learn. You know?
Yeah.
But it was to the point where, you know, we would have a Wednesday Bible group. Well, clean the entire house. We're going to have coffee made. We're going to have dad go to Walmart and get some pastries real quick so that when people come in, they feel like they're at home.
Yeah.
You know, my mom had a basket in the living room with like 5 blankets rolled up in it. So that way anyone could take a blanket if they wanted one kind of thing. But also my family has also been, my mom has always been the kind of person where like when her children are in one place at the same time is when she feels the most relief, I think, because she is... And again, I don't 100% know the feeling. I think every parent has told us. Your mom has told us this. My mom and my dad have told us this. Is that kind of thing where you're not going to know the love and the care that you want for your kids until you have kids, you know?
Yeah.
And so whenever my mom has all of her children under one roof and she is there with all of them, she feels the most relief because she knows that they're all safe and they're all in a good place at that moment, you know? At that very second, like she's not having to worry about, oh, what are they doing today? Like they're driving or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And also my mom has been the kind of person like whatever is mine is yours. So like go in the pantry, get whatever you want to eat. I don't do that. And that's not because my parents told me differently. I always grew up that way. But for some reason, I myself, just me myself, maybe my other siblings, because the thing is I am 25. The one below me is 23,
mm-hmm.
and the one below him 17. Is 17. And then you can already imagine where the last 5 are.
Yeah.
Underneath that.
15, and so, 13.
Exactly. They're still younger. Maybe some of them, maybe the rest of them, whenever they grow up and they go to my parents' house, they'll be like, yeah, they're just going to the pantry or just get whatever they want to eat. But mm-hmm. I think me and my brother, Brandon, are very much so the kind of people where I don't even know where we got it from. It just must be just this weird thing of like, Mom, Dad, y'all have done a lot for us already when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And so y'all, the stuff that you guys have, y'all paid for that. Y'all got that for yourself. So the least I will take is water, you know? Even if my mom suggests, like, what do you want to eat whenever y'all come? I always try to suggest something super cheap. Just because, not that they can't afford it. It's just the fact that I'm just natural. I mean, myself personally, I'm just naturally like that. And whenever I go to, like, your mom's house, I love your mom. She is very hospitable. She's very loving towards me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know me. I'm an awkward person. Just but whenever anyone suggests, like, can I get this for you? You know, I'm awkwardly like, no, don't worry about it. I'll go get it myself.
Yeah.
Because you know? I just don't like – I know I'm not. But I just don't like people to have to do things for me because I want that person to just do things for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
But, again, I need to also keep in mind that some people love to serve.
My brain is going a lot of places because you covered many topics in that. But is there – so do you wait for your parents to initiate a suggestion with anything? Like before you get anything like water or coffee or like snacks or anything? Like you won't get anything until they say – not consciously but just unconsciously. Do you do that?
I think I probably do.
Yeah.
Even though it's not like I'm trying to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe there's been a couple of times where I've gone and gone. I'll say it this way. The moment we go see my family, the moment I walk in the door, I probably wait for someone to offer me a water before I get a water.
Yeah.
And it's not even the fact that my family dynamic is even like that.
Mm.
If I walked in and got myself a water, they wouldn't even say a thing.
Yeah.
They want me to go get water. Yeah. You know, like, that doesn't matter. I don't know why I just that's naturally really like
interesting.
That.
Is Brandon the same way?
I think Brandon is the same way. I'm not sure. But, I don't even know where I came from. My parents are not. Growing up, my parents were never like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't have that. Hey, you can't eat that. Like, they were never like that. But I think I've just grown up as an adult to in a place where I see where I'm at personally. And I know that when you see the bigger picture and you understand like, oh, just for the two of us, we spend this much money on groceries. Yeah. I can only imagine how much they're spending whenever everyone was together. Now that there's two out of the house, they still have these many more to feed. I just think to myself, man, that's your money well spent, you know? Like, I'm not going to go take whatever you spend your money on. Just even though if my family came over, they can have whatever they want, even if there's not, even though there's not that much because it's only for two of us, they can have whatever they want.
Yeah. What's funny is that that's your parents' like biggest pride though, or at least your mom is like being a mom, you know? So it's like her biggest joy to see her kids feel at home. So it's funny that y'all like don't, I don't know.
We don't allow her to even like.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I initiate, like, at your parents' house is, like, coffee in the mornings. Like, I don't ask, but I just go and get it. But your dad also, like, if we're eating something or whatever, he'll be like, Vanessa, get more. Like, or he says things like that. Like, they say things often like, you're our daughter, too. You can, like, act like this house is yours or whatever. Like, whether it's taking off your shoes or... I don't know. Like, they want you to feel like it's your own home. But it's interesting that we don't, like, allow them to do that. And your parents, I'm trying to think of, like, the majority. It's different between his family and mine. But, like, I think there'll be, like, one meal maybe that your family is like, what do you want us to make or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this last time that we went, I said that I wanted fideo, which is just – I don't know. I just really want a fideo.
If you don't know what fideo is.
It's like Mexican spaghetti.
It practically is. It practically is.
And so his dad was like, okay, like that's fine. But when we told his mom, and we already predicted what she was going to say, she was just like, that's what you're going to make. And it's because like she wants her kids to have like the best. Like she wants her kids to be able to like enjoy, I don't know, like a very special meal. Yeah. But. Like, for us, it's, like, either more nostalgic or, like, I don't know. We're just simple. Yeah. Like, we don't need anything fancy. So, but I don't think we have ever initiated cooking at your family's house. Or I don't think your family has ever initiated, like, cooking at our house. Or I don't think they've ever grabbed coffee from our house. Like, they wait for us to ask as well.
Then it must, and then I guess that's how, where I got it. I guess subconsciously seeing my parents interact with other people whenever we go to other people's houses. So that's probably where I subconsciously just got it. But again, it's just that's just the way it is. I don't know. Like, it's different because me, I'm very much so. You're going to ask me a question, I'll tell you, kind of. But like, you go to my brother Brandon, Brandon will tell you. We went to eat for dinner, Brandon will tell you.
I love this. Yeah, that's true.
You know? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad Brandon can say what he wants to say and boom, he gets it done. Good, cool. Me, for some reason, I just feel like anything that regards me is a hindrance.
Yeah.
So weird. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just feel like anything regarding me just feels like a hindrance. And not that I felt like that growing up. My parents never made me feel like I was a hindrance to them. But me just growing up, whenever your mom asks, oh, you know, what does Robert want to eat? She's never asked me. Maybe one or two times. But I know she asks you, oh, what can we cook for Robert for his birthday whenever she comes up? Or what can we cook for Robert because he likes to eat? What does he like to eat? And Sweta, I love you. Thank you. She listens to this podcast every single time. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Like, it means a lot to me. But I mentally, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a hindrance. Like, I don't want her to have to go and find things to go cook. Even though that's her way of saying I love you. I get that. Me personally, I'm just like, man, I don't want to have to waste her time cooking. So like, she drove all the way over here.
Yeah.
I want her to just rest and chill and have fun, spend time with you. I would much rather find something to cook or go eat something. I don't know. So
that's why it's different with my family, because my mom like thrives on cooking. Like, she shows her love through that. And same with my grandma and stuff. But when she's at our house, honestly, like, she cooks more than we do, which kind of makes us sound like bad hosts. But until she came this last recent time, I was thinking to myself, like, man, like, are we just really bad hosts for her? Like, should we be offering to cook all these things? Or it's a hard balance of, like, is this, like, is she doing it because she wants to feel like she's giving something to us as a mother. Like, she takes pride and joy into, like, feeding her children. So she wants to, and she's super talented at it, whereas we kind of, like,
above average.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, we never eat Mexican food because we just, there's no places around here that's good enough, and we can't make it as good as our parents do. And so when my mom comes, she makes, like, all of the home type of foods, which is, like, really comforting and stuff. But what if she's trying to come and she just wants to relax and we should cook a meal for her? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she's learned, and I guess it's because my mom spends a night more and your parents don't, because obviously there's, like, six other kids.
And it's not as long to get back home.
Well, I'm saying, like, my mom doesn't mind waking up in the morning and making herself a cup of coffee. Like, as long as you show her, she's willing to do that. So she's comfortable now to the point where she can do that. But gotcha. Your family probably isn't as comfortable because they don't spend the night here or spend a lot of time here. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
But at my mom's house, I mean, yeah, I guess Robert waits for it to be initiated. I obviously grab coffee or open the fridge or whatever. Mostly just coffee or something small. But
I'm just that weird person, dude.
But my family is opposite in the sense of, like, they're very traditional. Maybe not my mom, but my grandma's like, Vanessa, why aren't you serving Robert? Like, she's very like, you should be the one doing that. Robert should never have to initiate that he wants food or a drink or whatever. Like, right. You should be one step ahead.
Which I don't care. Like, yeah. Which I actually, vice versa, would like to do the opposite. I like to serve Vanessa.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, cool, awesome, cool. I'll sit down here. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just that awkward person with just everything. Whenever work goes and buys, let's just say Chipotle, my boss is like, hey, we're going to buy Chipotle for the office. And you want something? Cool, I'll take some. But then they bring Chipotle back. I'm not going to go upstairs and go get my bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm weird. I'm that weird of a person to where I will just continue working until my boss says something like, oh, hey, the food's upstairs. Go get some. Oh, okay, cool. And then I go get it.
Mm.
I don't know why I'm just like that. It just brings me this weird feeling of uncomfortability for me to just walk up in somewhere and just start eating something.
But I don't feel like our parents want us to feel that way, which is a hard part.
They don't, but I don't know where I got that from.
But when do you over, like, on the opposite end, when do you think is the point where you overstay your welcome? You know?
I think it all counts on reading the room, I think. And I think it also at the same time, you know when you're overstaying your welcome. There's not a single person in this world that doesn't know.
What are signs of overstaying your welcome, I guess? Like eating all the food out of the fridge, or like being really comfortable and not helping clean up, or like, I don't know, like not being around but using all the resources in your parents' house, you know? Like, not spending time with them but using everything of theirs. Or, like, I don't know what my mom would be like. Okay, that's enough. Like, you need to get out.
I think that there's this weird sense of knowing it. I think when it gets to a point where you know that you are just indulging way too much on someone else's hard work,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting to the point where they're not even offering it to you anymore. You're just grabbing it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think there comes a point where it's like, I think I've overstayed my welcome.
That's fair, I guess.
You know, I think it comes to a point where if you're going in and you're getting yourself some food to eat, and then you realize, you know what, no one's offered me anything. I think that's your sign to pack up, let's get out of here. But I mean, again, I don't know. Because I'm not like, it's hard for me to answer that question because I don't know, because I'm not like that person. I don't even know if I know people that are like that. Me personally.
It's hard and different when you have kids though, because then it's like a tornado just came through your house and you're like, please get out. Yeah. Like, please don't stay longer than 3 days. Like, it's harder to tell when you've overstayed your welcome with kids because it just feels like different at all times because of the dynamic. Like, you're just not used to having children in your house, you know what I mean?
Right. So, again, but I think that's when you need to read the room. Like, if you can tell that grandma and grandpa look a little bit more frustrated than they were when you first got there, they're probably getting frustrated.
I think it's important to, like, especially like as adult kids, is to like always remember, I don't know, I feel like as adults or as a kid in general, having parents you feel this like entitlement to all of their stuff and all of their belongings and resources and all the stuff because like you owe it to me. You're my parent. Like I deserve to have that. I'm your kid. You know what I mean? And I think it's important to remember at all times, and especially as an adult, is like they don't have to do that, but they're doing it because they want to and because they love you, you know? And so you shouldn't want to abuse that, if that makes sense. I think that's like important to remember when you're staying somewhere. Like, it sucks with our dogs. It really does. Because I feel like we're already overstaying our welcome because they're just a hassle to take around.
Well, there you go. That's your answer. How do you know you're saying overstaying your welcome with kids? It's almost the same thing with the dog.
Yeah. But you shouldn't always feel like a burden either and just not go because you have them, because you have kids or whatever. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just being conscious of, like, what your parents are doing for you and what they truly have to do for you, you know?
Right.
I don't know. That's just my perspective. We should have like a thought of gratitude or a attitude of gratitude.
There you go. Which, is that the end of that topic?
I guess, because you don't have anything else to say.
About family dynamics? Just growing up as an adult? I think, I mean, going back from to the very beginning as to what you said on how you love the fact that all your siblings are adults now, I can't wait for the day for my siblings to become adults.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you can just do a lot. You do a lot more, you know?
Yeah.
For me, and I mean, I brought this up amongst my brother and I, how I would love for us to just meet somewhere once a month. Like, we see each other more than that in the month.
Yeah. But
just to have a dedicated once a month meal together somewhere where we can literally just eat, drink, and just talk, you know, for hours and hours on end. And so... But we wouldn't have been able to do that necessarily when we were kids, you know?
True.
Yeah, we could have, but in our bedroom or the living room. It is just a different feeling when you're an adult, you know? Having adult conversations, just talking about things as married couples or whatever, or just as an adult, you know? It's just, I enjoy that aspect. I can't wait for the day when all my siblings are adults, because it's just going to be this cool thing where it's like, I don't know, we're all meeting to go to this one place and to spend time together. I don't know. It seems to me, I like it. It's cool.
Is your interaction with your parents different now that you're an adult and outside of the house? Is your relationship different, I guess?
Is my relationship different with them? I would like to say it's not really changed. Maybe they might say something differently.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, when I was there living with my parents, I mean, I was homeschooled, so I was with my family all the time. We talked all the time, that kind of thing. I do know that I personally, myself, am just someone who is very quiet.
Reserved.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. I'm more reserved. And whether I like it or not, I don't know. I'm not the kind of person that really calls once a week or something like that. And there might be 3 weeks that pass by and then I'm like, oh, I haven't even talked to my mom in like a month or whatever.
Yeah.
That's probably really, really bad. But been the kind of person that I have been. I don't know why I've become that person since I've left home, you know? I remember being home, I would at times, you know, we're just chilling and I'll just go to my parents' room. My dad's at work and my mom's, you know, just there in her bed, and I'll just sit on the bed and just chill with her and talk with her, you know? But now this weird disconnect of just being more reserved has happened in me. And I don't talk to her or my dad as much as – I don't even know if it's as much as I would like to, but I just don't talk to them all that much. I don't know why. I think I just get this weird feeling that they have more things to take care of, you know?
Yeah.
There's six other kids they need to take care of. They both have jobs. They both are active at church. And so I just mentally in my mind, I just think they're just more than you – to handle, I guess. And I don't know. I feel like it's really, really sad because I used to grow up all the time. You know, one of the things that we like doing whenever we go to my parents is that we stay up late just talking in the living room or whatever. We're just chilling. Even though my parents have to wake up the next morning, they just want to sit there and just talk. Even though one of them is starting to fall asleep, or like my mom's starting to fall asleep, or, you know, Brandon and Naomi or falling asleep, like we still just want to sit there and just talk and just be in our presence, you know? And we used to do that whenever I was younger, just sit in the living room and just chill there and just talk, or just, you know, just be there with each other.
Yeah.
And now there's, I myself, it's not even, I don't know if it's, I don't know. It could be both ways. I have no idea. But I just know for me, myself, I just grown so reserved. I don't know what's happened or what has caused me to be that way, but I just am. And so I think in regards to my family dynamic, I have become way more disconnected.
Mm.
I don't know why.
But you don't feel less close to them personally. Like you don't love them any less, or you're, you know, no. What I mean? Like,
no.
You know, it'd be an interesting perspective to have Brandon's idea, because you're very different as a, like an adult child that's away from home now versus your brother who... Like, Brandon talks to his parents every day, you know? And maybe your attachment styles are just different in general, which is normal for a family. But it's just interesting, like, his perspective would be totally opposite of yours, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I am exactly the same. Our relationships are exactly the same with my parents. But as an adult, I'm just, like, I've always been very headstrong. And as a kid, I just had my limits and boundaries and restrictions because, like, I was in my parents' home. And now it's just, like, enhanced.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Well, now I can because I'm an adult. Like, I can make decisions for myself now. And so I have firmer boundaries, I guess I could say, you know?
Right.
But I don't think our relationships have been different. I talk to my mom every day. But I like living so far at the same time, you know, which I know that's different for families too. Like some families live in the same city, you know,
right?
You have parents and their adult kids, and some live 7 hours away. So that's harder to cope with than like what you've been used to your whole life.
Yeah.
Raising your child.
I don't know. Like, I feel like for me, I'm the kind of person where like I can, some people feel like they need to be close to home.
Mm.
And some people feel like they need to be close to their family. Geographically wise.
Yeah.
But I feel like to me, I can move wherever, I can move to a different state or whatever, and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's so weird. I don't even know why I'm like that.
I feel like it's a good thing though.
I don't know. Like even as it's coming out of my mouth right now, it seems really, really weird. Why am I like that? I don't know why. I don't know. It's this weird thing of like, where did that come from? Because all I knew growing up was being homeschooled, being with my family all the time. I wonder if just that dynamic had this big push within me to be like, I need to not get away from my family. It's not that at all.
Yeah.
I love my family. But I wonder if it's this weird thing in my mind where like, I need to go see the world or something like that, you know? I don't know. Not like I'm doing that right now anyways, but it's, I don't know.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's like a really healthy attachment style. Like, and also, I mean, there's tons of families that live states away or whatever. Like, Tom and Sonia lived far away from their kid for so long. And now, you know, years and years and years later, they're finally able to live closer to her. And their relationship probably looks different. But
Tom and Sonia is a pastor that and his wife that I got to know very well when I was interning at their church in New Orleans. So,
yeah. And, like all of these families that have like kids that are missionaries that go overseas, like that's something that they hope for or whatever their whole lives and then like train you up to do. And then they're like, you know, so it's hard to say, but I don't know. I feel like this holiday season, this past few months of the year have spoken volumes to us in the sense of like, we may not live close to our family, but we need to start cherishing our moments together way more, if that makes sense. Especially as adult kids that are far away and don't get to see each other all the time. Like, I think we've just been able to step back and just acknowledge, like, all of the memories that we've had and the times that we are together and don't even realize that those will be memories in the future. And, I don't know, just being intentional while we're together and talking and making the most out of those moments and relationships. So. Yeah. Hopefully in the new year, we're able to do that even more and make more of an effort to see each other.
Yeah. Cool. If you guys have any other topics that you want to share with us, go to our Twitter account at Crazy Talk Pod, and you can share us your questions, your, you know, just things you want to share with us. You can do it there. Again, this podcast, you can find it all podcast services. For some reason, I realized whenever it goes up on Anchor, it takes a couple, like, it takes like an hour before it goes everywhere else. So, you know, it's on everything. So if it's on something, let me know and I can see what I can do about getting it on there. Again, thanks for listening to us, guys. We appreciate it. Here's to 2020, a brand new year. And
cheers.
Here's to a million listens on that one Shane Dawson podcast video. Gosh. That always gets more listens than anything else. Until next time, guys, thanks for listening. Bye.